Well, good morning. It's Wednesday, March 15th, 2023. As we saw in Working Wrestling Spiritually Part 1, the tempter comes to solicit sinfulness. Maliciously, he comes to us to try our faith, our virtue, our character. He's determined to knock the wind out of us and wrestle the Word of God out of our hearts. That's what he does. But God, who is eternally all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present, he has the solution for our safety and well-being. In James 4, verse 7, he tells us, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." And submitting to God results when we trust in his faithfulness. You know, becoming fully persuaded that we are safe in the care of his love, safe in the care of his light, we will want to arrange very willfully ourselves under the direction and counsel of his will. And, you know, who cannot but think of David? He was this way. Psalm 119:92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. You know, David delighted in God. That was the whole key. That's why he didn't perish. It wasn't just moving around in the Word, reading scriptures here and there. He delighted in the Word. He couldn't wait to sit back down and think about it again. Here, and the neat thing to note is, here is a mighty king. Yet look how humble he was to Almighty God. If the word submit puts a bad taste in your mouth, I beg you, please, please revisit this powerful and precious truth. You know, we cannot afford prideful thoughts because they're quick to cut us off from God's wisdom. And remember, God alone is with us every second. He alone knows everything. He alone is all-powerful, almighty. You know, his truths are interwoven layer upon layer. And in the senses reckoning, our carnal knowledge, our worldly experiences, our physical power, they are not able to wisely just pick and choose at random what spiritual instructions we find easy to carry out. Our senses do not see far enough down the road. That's where God's all-knowing and his everywhere present and his all-power, that's where it comes in. He sees down the road. He sees eternally down the road. And in our trusting and obeying God, it's in that, in our trusting and obeying God, that's what denies access to information contrary to his nature and his will. It is our steadfastness to God out of this delight that resists the devil. No matter how determined the devil is, he flees when our trust in God is our firm foundation. The devil's attempts to try our faith, they will fail at epic proportions when we have ourselves placed in submission to God's love for us. Resist is interesting. It's a word that means to set oneself against, to oppose, to withstand. And I think of Ephesians, and having done all, stand. That's right. So we resist him. We set ourselves against the enemy. We oppose the enemy. We withstand the enemy when we are in subjection to the mighty will of God. And to establish the point, it says, submit yourselves to God. Then it says, resist the devil. And the order of instruction, I think it's very important here. The spiritual reality is that when we are submissive to God, it is our immersion in His Word that takes on the devil. We keep ourselves busy. We're hiding and guarding the Word in our hearts. We're delighting in it. And all the time, that Word that's in our heart is busy, busy, busy resisting the devil. That's the work of the Word in our hearts. In our administration, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It will bring to mind those things from the Scriptures that we know in an instant, and it will resist an attack. It will help us make correct decisions. You know, we awaken in the morning God-minded. We praise Him. We talk to Him. We think about Him and so forth. God is to be our focus. Nowhere in the Bible are we instructed to awaken in the morning thinking and fretting and worrying about what the devil might try on us during the day. It isn't there. Nowhere in the Bible. That is not why we delight in the Word. We delight in His Word. It's so simple. We delight in His Word because He first loved us. And we love Him back for His unchanging, unconditional love for us. The Word implanted in our hearts, that's what keeps us. And it's planted in delight. It's planted in delight. And that's what keeps us. That's what stands against the devil with all the resistance of God's power and might backing us up. The devil is checking us out. He was looking for a little breach in our conviction. And when there is no breach to be found, he flees. And that is exactly why God tells us to guard our hearts with all diligence. So in our delight of the Word, there is no point of entry for the wisdom of the world. And that's how he comes at us. He doesn't jump up in our face and say, boo. No, he slips in these little things that sound so heavy, so wise, but they lead us to a wrong place down the road. They do not concur with the Word of God. Looking at Proverbs 4, we'll start at verse 11, and we'll look at the instruction in view of how it is for our safety and our preservation. God's instructions, sometimes when we're just getting into the believer, the walk of the believer, we might think, oh, it's just a list of rules. But, you know, it really isn't. He doesn't make up just a list of rules for us to keep. And then we get scored on how obedient we are. That's not it at all. That so underrates the purpose of God and His intent. He is our Father. He is our Father. It is His heart to love and care for us. So in verse 11, Proverbs 4, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now the word straighten means, you might think it means straight, but it actually means vexed or distressed, where we're just put in a narrow place or we're besieged on every side, so to speak. And the word not is a word that means never. That's the absolute will of our loving Father. And we can bring His will to pass in our lives by delighting in the Word and hiding it in our heart. Verse 13, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And God's instruction is our life, and He likens it to a wise woman. In the book of Proverbs, God's wisdom is likened to a wise woman. God says, don't let that wisdom go. No, not for a moment. Verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not into the way of evil men. As the path of the just is laid out by the wisdom of God, in the same manner, the path of the wicked is laid out through the wisdom of the world. That is filled with lies. It's filled with flaws. I always love what Larry says. It's pretzel logic. But God's word is always so perfect. The light, you know, he leads us in the right path. That's how we get a crack in our mind and then in our heart, is through that wisdom of the world. If we turn our heads and give it any attention at all, it will lead us to cool in our delight for God. So the word we delight in will refuse that path of the wicked, that way of the evil man. God gives us the way of wisdom. He leads us in the right path. The light in our heart will reveal to us even the most subtle setup or compromising situation. And boy, they can be so slick. But as for the way of the evil man, verse 15 says, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. You know, God's word tells us what we need to know about evil. We don't have to go read the National Enquirer or books on, watch movies that have all of this evil on display. No, we have no need of an inquiring mind as to the ways of evil. It's kind of dangerous activity, really. But as godliness issues from our believing hearts, the devil fails because he has no resistance to the word of God, which, by the way, is quick, like Hebrews 4:12 says. It's quick, it's powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. And in Luke 21, it shows us this truth. God says in verse 15, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay, speak against, or resist." They can't resist. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You know, you think about it. The devil is darkness. God is absolute light. We understand that even in the physical realm, right? I mean, darkness cannot overpower light. But light splits the darkness. It reveals it. It makes it manifest. It's like the light goes on and the darkness scrambles. The spiritual reality is even more stunning. In Proverbs 4:18, it said so beautifully, "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." And according to this verse, figuratively, living righteously is as the shining light. And being born again ones, we have God's seed in us, and it can never depart from us, no matter how we live. Nothing will prohibit us from being in the gathering together when the Lord returns for the saints. That's God's love. It is unconditional and unending. Now, it is logical that without nourishment, we weaken. Our strength diminishes. And that's true concerning physical. It's also true concerning spiritual types of nourishment. Our strength to avoid evil and to turn away can weaken without nourishment. But just like with healthy food, we're strengthened. So it is when the word is quick and alive within us, desiring our manner of life to be directed by the word and by the will of God, we can be strong, we're strengthened, and we can enjoy great success, which, by the way, is definitely God's will, with his shining light at work within us through the gift of Holy Spirit. And in verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Nothing reliable in darkness. Nothing. They don't even understand their own wickedness, God is saying. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. And you say, why? Well, verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And find, it means much more than just, you know, you pick up the book, you find a verse, you read it. It really carries the thought of securing, of acquiring, and falling in step with the words that we're reading, the words that we find to read. Then, once we have secured his words in our hearts, we guard. We guard. In verse 23, keep thy heart, or guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything that happens in our life, everything, issues from the delights of what is hidden in our heart. Verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. See, resist the evil. Stay away from it. Don't be curious about it. Let thine eyes look right on. And God is saying that for our safety. He knows. He sees down the road. The wisdom of the world is very short-sighted for a purpose. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left hand. Remove thy foot from evil. You know, we want these verses to inspire our hearts. And that's what the word does when we read it. It's hard to not delight in reading those great verses. Allow the word of God. We want to allow it to increase the potency of our faith, even if it is as a grain of mustard seed. Keeping the word alive in our day-to-day meditations, keeping in communication with our Heavenly Father, praying, praising, thanking, making supplications, thinking of him more and more in our moment-by-moment thoughts. In this amazing administration of grace, with the long-awaited comforter on the inside of us, let's look at that vitality or that strength of the word that we hide in our heart. And it's really detailed beautifully in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? Investing in knowing and believing. We invest the time. We invest the work and the word. Investing in not only knowing, but then delighting and believing and trusting God's love and light, we tap into the working of his mighty power. And in this process, our personal persuasion of God's faithfulness increases in its potency, and we can then expect the working of his mighty power. And then the verse tells us that we're going to have more than we could expect, more than we could ask or think. In verse 20, this power, he, God, wrought. He made it work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And the principalities, the powers, the dominion of the world's darkness, they come at us from a hostile direction. They're not coming to help us. Oh, yeah, they lie. Sure. But they are anti-God. They are anti-Christ. And they are anti-believer. They lust to agitate our emotions and our feelings, and they will do anything they can to disrupt the peace of God that is in your life, the love of God that is in your heart, and the fruit of the Spirit that you move about with on a daily basis. They are disruptors. I think of John 10:10. Does steal, kill, and destroy sound familiar? You know, Jesus said, those are the reasons they come. Well, God provides us with sufficient information about darkness throughout the scriptures, and then he gives us his wisdom to prevail in life, but also throughout the word are encouragements to focus on godliness rather than evil. Yes, you know, God has made us wise about the devil and his kingdom. There's many references in the word, many teachings in the word, but he doesn't instruct us to focus on the devil. He wants us to focus on the wisdom of God. And to the extent the wisdom of God, which is found in his word, illuminates the workings of evil, then we obviously don't need to know about it, because we don't have to go to the gutter to find out about our enemy. God is going to make us know. You know, God is going to, he wants us walking in godliness so that our minds are on loving him and loving others, the two great commandments that are equally yoked. You know, this is a good time right now to go back to Luke chapter 10 that Larry covered in his teaching manuscript. It will really seal this truth about our devoted focus upon God. And we did really want to nail that in these two teachings. It is so splendid once we get a good look at it. And in Luke 10:17, it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." You may recall now the word for devils. It means messengers, ministers of the devil, inferior to God, but superior to man. How's that for an explanation as to why we don't wrestle with flesh and blood? You know, these wicked spirits are superior to men. We don't get in a fleshly battle, wit for wit, tongue for tongue, lash for lash. We don't do all that. And they're superior to men and women, even born-again ones, who engage in the carnal logic of fighting with people who are evil. It's a big difference. It's a big difference between evil and people who are evil. In all these situations, there is a path that God will show as we go to him with each unique situation. But we don't just see something that's evil and jump on the first bandwagon that passes by and start duking it out. Of course not. Jesus' disciples did all that they did in Jesus' name and at his direction. They did all that they did with the authority, the character, the majesty, the power. Oh, gosh, you could go on. The excellence of all that the name of Jesus Christ embodies, which is backed by all that the name of God Almighty embodies. Their actions were on the solid ground of Jesus' authority that was given him from his Father. In verse 18, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." This verse to me, it just reveals how pure and loving the heart of God truly is. Jesus was pure, and we are pure by focusing on the things of God. We are pure by looking at things the way God looked at them. We are pure by behaving ourselves the way Jesus Christ behaved himself. It says that Jesus beheld Satan. Now, this beheld is so rich in meaning. And in the context, it describes that Jesus beheld. And that means he enjoyed perceiving the presence of the majesty of the Father that was glorious in the Son. Now, you just have to, you'll have to read this, listen to this a few times, but he didn't behold Satan falling and then dance around flaunting the power we have over the devils. Isn't this cool? Now, is it cool? Yeah, it is, but you get the point. He beheld, he enjoyed the reality that God would do this, that the majesty of God, the majesty of the Father was so big. Now look at that. He joyed in the presence of the majesty of God. What a great lesson. And to see our victory in this way, first, don't we have to see it in the Word? Certainly. And sometimes a godly manner or aspect of life might go undone because we just don't know it. We don't know about it from the Word. And that's why we wanted to impart this light to you, because now we know. And it's all a part of our attitude. It's all a part of our attitude. We can excel by putting our attitude up a few notches, right? And looking at things the way God looked at it. Satan is the adversary of God and of Christ, and therefore of us. And that means Satan is hardened, he's incurable, he's entrenched in his opposition to God, to Christ, and to us. And as Jesus saw Satan as a bright light being thrust down from the sky, his mind was on the power of God, not on Satan. Our Lord was not cocky or rejoicing about the enemy, oh, fallen from the sky. No, his joyous amazement and praise were centered and founded in the power of God. Now, Larry covered verse 19 in his teaching transcript, so we're going to move on to verse 20. And as we get on to verse 20, we'll see a bit more here, because this verse is a real component part for the one that we just covered. It says, notwithstanding, in this we rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Now see, there it is again. We rejoice that our names are written in heaven. That's where the rejoicing comes in. That's where the dancing before the Lord comes in. Absolutely. Our names being written in heaven is the reason spirits can even be subject to us at our words in the name of Jesus Christ. So that's our rejoicing. That's our focus, our attitude. In verse 21, Jesus said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, speaking about the world, and hast revealed them unto babes, that would be us, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. And you know what? If it's good in God's sight, it's good. That's right. So these two verses really give us some wonderful instruction. And then as we move forward, I want to cover two verses that will give us some helpful instruction for standing, for resisting, because these are very much a part of how we resist the enemy, how we wrestle in according to Ephesians 6:12. Now, I love the verse in Mark 14 that it it tells us to watch and pray. Verse 38, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Well, watching, that's the word I want to look at. It means that we take heed to the word. That's what watching means. There's different words for watching. There's words where you stand on a rooftop and you guard, or stand on a wall and you guard the camp. But this word for watching means to take heed to yourself with the word. It's not a reference to obsessing on watching for the devil, you know, where you're watching for the enemy on the wall. Rather, it is our time enjoying God's word and our communications with him. As a child, I remember teachers emphasizing, you got to eat three meals a day, three square meals a day. But even more important, not to deny or delay our spiritual nourishment. How many times a day do we need to eat of spiritual nourishment? Throughout. Watching keeps us standing prepared and ready. We aren't looking for temptation. But by keeping our spiritual lives nourished, active, we are ready when it comes, and we are prepared. We know it will come, but we're not looking for it. We're looking at the word. And we recognize it in a heartbeat because the gift of Holy Spirit alerts us. With the word in our heart, they work together. And we are ready in that we will have all the array of spiritual helps from God intact. And the second verse is Philippians 4:8. It's really a crucial direction for the thoughts that occupy our time. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. And I've heard people say they didn't like so-and-so because they were such a Pollyanna. Well, for those of you who may not know, maybe you're familiar with the little movie or book, but a Pollyanna is one who is persistently cheerful and optimistic. I mean, even when given a cause not to be so. But people fitting this description are unwilling to be negative, gossipy, or down on life. And Philippians 4:8, it isn't saying we bury our heads in the sand. No, we have our head buried in the word. And when you think about the ones with their heads buried in the sand, wouldn't it be those who deny the wisdom of God? There's whose head is in the sand. And yet, what is the first thing the world throws at you? If you try to be positive or change the subject, you're just burying your head in the sand. So you say. That's right. And, you know, when we think according to Philippians 4:8, we are supplying our minds with solutions. Even beautiful song lyrics have been written over the many decades to encourage believing ones to focus on the Master and not on the storms of life. Now, do we see storms in life? Sure. Do we get blown about occasionally? Sure. Of course. But we are rejoicing that our names are written in heaven, ignoring everything else. And that is the success story that glorifies God. And prayerfully, these two teachings help all of us see more clearly the truths and aspects about our spiritual wrestling. And I do want to close reading the two promising verses from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God bless you.